Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Of my life, I'll be Glory, 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 glory. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his name is to be hallowed. Adonai, holy is your name, Lord God of hosts. We worship and we bow down before you this morning. We ask, O God, that you forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we ask, O God, that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. We are excited this morning. As always, we are excited every morning to come before the Lord and praise his holy name and give him glory and honor, because he is, and he alone is worthy of honor and praise. Father, we thank you, O God, for just being the Lord of our lives, the one, the sanctifier of our souls. We thank you this morning and we praise you, O God. We lift up your holy name. Thank you for Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington. And Lord, we ask that you allow everything that they're doing to their house to go well, that there be no flaws in what is being done, and that there be no crookedness, crooked actions from the contractors, that everything do is done decent and in order. Father, we just thank you this morning. We praise you. And we glorify your name, we honor you, Jesus, for your name is holy. From the rising of the sun until the going down on the same, your name is holy, Lord. And we hallow your name, we glorify your name. We ask this morning that you speak to us. We surrender our eyes, our ears, and our lips of clay to you this morning. As always, God, if we speak a word that did not come from these 66 books or from your spirit, by your spirit, to our town, cause our town to cleave to the roof of our mouth and never let us speak another word. Father, our only objective is to glorify your name, to exalt or edify your body and terrify the enemy. In Jesus' holy name, we ask that you now illuminate this word before my eyes, that I might see all that you would have me to see, and cause my tongue to be on fire to speak that which you would have me to speak this morning. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Computer has taken a long time to pull people in, but we know that God is doing what he can do. Let's try the other computer. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We are going to be talking this morning about the vineyard of the Lord. The vineyard of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, we thank you that we are part of the vineyard, that you have assigned us to be part of the vineyard, and we love being part of the vineyard. Everybody's not called to be part of the vineyard. Some people are just out there being idle. But if God called you and chose you, you are part of his vineyard. And God is watching over you. He is keeping you. And don't matter how the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible declared that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for you. That standard is a standard of protection. That standard is a standard of keeping grace, keeping mercy he bestowed upon your life. So you don't have to worry about that. Glory to God. All you have to do is make sure that you're doing what thus says the Lord. Every other thing else is mediocre. No matter what any other person says or do. We're going to be talking today about the vineyard of the Lord. And this is what the Lord showed me on yesterday. evening, the vineyard of the Lord. And here in the book of let's go to the book of Amos. Let's start over there, the book of Amos, and then we'll go over to Isaiah. Oh, yeah. And Ezekiel, thank you so much. We'll go over to these books. You have to listen to the Spirit. We all want to preach something or teach something that we feel we want to teach or preach, but the Lord is declaring that we are, the people of God are the vineyard. We think it's out there in the world, but when you get an understanding of the gospel, He is not speaking about the world. He's speaking about you. You are the world. You know, we think it's the trees and the land and the ocean and all that stuff. But no, you are the world that the Lord is seeking to keep as the apple of His eye. You know, the Lord wants you to know that you are the apple of His eye. He has paid the ultimate price on Calvary for you to be who you are right now. You could not be who you are right now without the shedding of blood. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So first thing you have to think is think about that. Think about that. Just let that just sink down deep down in your sanctified soul, and you have a reason to praise the Most High. You have a reason right there to praise the Most High. Yeah, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5. Let's start at Isaiah chapter 5. Let's start at Isaiah chapter 5. And glory to God, the computer don't want to come up. Let's see. If you let me, as I'm coming out the Living Bible, I believe, the Amplified Bible. Come out the Amplified. If you let me, as God's representative, sing of and for my greatly beloved God, the Son, attend the song of my beloved concerning His vineyard. The vineyard is His chosen people. My greatly beloved had a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. This, you will see this in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and 3. Matthew 21 and verse 33 to 34 to 40. You will see that. The vineyard are the people of God. The ones that He has called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Don't you look down on yourself because you are not some established pastor, bishop, apostle, evangelist, teacher. Don't look down on yourself because God blesses all His children the same. Just as He will judge all His children the same according to their works, according to their action, according to the intent of their thoughts, He's going to judge them. He said, and He dug and trenched the ground and gathered out the stones from it and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine press in it. And He looked for it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. In other words, the grapes that came forth was not pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes we are out here trying to do some stuff for the kingdom, but we're not really doing it the way that the king wants it done. We're doing it the way that we want to do it. So we don't seem to bear fruit. We are the branches and He is the vine. We are supposed to bear fruit because we should be drawing substance. Listen to me this morning. I'm not going to push this. I'm going to take my time. We ought to be drawing substance from the vine. How are we going to get the substance that we need from the vine that God has already prepared for us? We have to tap into this word 24/7. We can't wait till we have a problem. Something is going on that is offensive or troubling our spirit to seek the vine. We got to stay connected to the vine. He said, if you stay connected to him, you'll bear much fruit. Let's go. Let's keep your finger right there in Isaiah, because this spirit is storming. It's just stirring up inside of me right now. Go to John chapter 15. Just stay right there in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, and let's go to John 15, because God is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the caretaker. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bear fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can it you, except you abide in me. Hear what he says. This is the word of God, I'm telling you. I just heard it in my spirit. We got to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the supplier of our soul, as the one that gives us what we need, the one that puts in us what we need. He has what we need. Glory to God. So we have to stay connected to him. Let us go back to the book of Amos, Isaiah chapter 5. I've got to go to Amos, but let's go back to Isaiah chapter 5. Let's work this scripture down the road and see what, just got a few more verses in here, and see what the Lord is saying here. Let's see. The Lord has trenched us out. In other words, he put a hedge around us, a hedge of protection around us, so that when the substances flow from him to us, nothing will be able to hinder us from our regenerating. Understand? Because he's putting this fertilizer around us, this hedge around us, as a fertilizer to fertilize us, for us to grow up and begin to bear fruit. Sometimes we are not taking the fertilizer. We are not allowing him to fertilize us. We are busy trying to do our own thing. He says here, and he dug and trenched the ground and gathered out the stones. He took out everything that would hinder the roots from going down into the soil to get the nutrients that the roots need. Do you hear what he's saying? From it. And planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and hewed out a winepress in it. And he looked for it to bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. He built a tower. The tower is so that he can sit in there. He is sitting high and looking low. He can see his vine. He can see his vineyard, his vineyard. The Lord is watching over us. We are the vineyard of the Lord, and he's watching over us to see what we are doing. Are we playing games with the gospel? Are we playing games with the message of salvation? Are we playing games? Hallelujah. Are we playing games? How important is the salvation is to you? How important is a soul is to you? The Bible says, he that winneth souls are wise. So how important is? Will you go to the extreme to reach someone so they can eat from the same vine that you're eating from? Hallelujah, something to think about. He said, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard, my people, says the Lord. The vineyard, he says, my people. It's made clear, very clear here in the book, in the Amplified Bible. He says, what more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to bring forth grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? He has done the utmost. He has shed his blood at Calvary. He has poured out his blood. He has allowed them to whip him. He allowed them to pierce him, to nail him, to crown him for our salvation, for us to have access to the tree of life, for us to be able to go out into the field, because we've seen what he has done for us, what he has gone through for us, so we should have this tenacity, should be tenacious enough that we can't wait to get out to tell somebody. We can't wait to tell a family member, a friend, a co-worker. We can't wait to just tell somebody about the wonders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are the vineyard of the Lord. He said, now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be eaten and burned up. And I will break down its walls, and it shall be trodden down by enemies. This is what the Lord says. Because that the vineyard is not doing, is not producing what the Lord has expected. The Lord has a great expectation of his church. He has a great expectation of his people. He is not just saying these are mine, and that's it. God has an expectation. You have sons, you have daughters, you have expectations. You want to see your children grow up, go to college, and be productive. God wants to see all of his children be productive members of the church. Every vine or every branch in the vineyard must bear fruit. Good fruit. Not wild fruit, but good fruit. I remember when I was starting out in ministry, I used to go to this drug rehab center because I came out a day. I spent 90 days in that one. The vineyard, they call the Vanguard drug rehab, the Phoenix House. You could only spend 90 days in there. So, excuse me. Truth is itching me. I spent 90 days there. But I then, after I got out a day, and I have spent 11 months in Salvation Army, I decided I was going to give back to this thing that I've come through, to the fellowship. We call it the fellowship, NAACP, Alcohol Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous. We go back, give back to the group. So I started this ministry, this service that I would go into the rehab centers, and I would do early Sunday morning service. I'd go there before they have their groups, and I would go in there, and I would do a prayer, or have somebody pray, and then I would do a Bible study with the people, with the clients there. And one Sunday morning, I couldn't see like I can see now. So I chose this young lady. She was in the group, and I says, "Sister so and so, could you pray for us this morning before we start the Bible study?" And the girl started out praying half decent, and all of a sudden, a cuss word came out of her mouth, and that was the beginning of my education as a minister. God said, "You have to see, and you have to hear by the Spirit." I looked like her, like, and I was thinking, well, you know, she was coming to Sunday school every Sunday morning. I go there to the rehab center to teach the Sunday school, you know, and she seemed like she was learning, but she had not let go. She didn't let go of who she was, you know, her past life. So when everybody look at me and say, like, Rev, what happened? You know, what do you do? See, because I ain't ever let her pray since that morning. But here God says here in this book of Isaiah chapter 5, we're talking about the vineyard of the Lord. Here he said so clearly. He said, what more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done in it when I look for it to bring forth grapes? Why did it yield his wild grapes? God is asking him. He's talking to himself. And now, this is what he said. He said, because that they didn't bring forth what he was looking for, what he expected them. See, God has a great expectation of the believer, of the born-again believer, of the blood washed. He has a great expectation of us. And then you see, we went back there to John chapter 15 and show you what he expects of us. In the first five or seven verses right there, he got a great expectation of the vineyard. See? He calls the vineyard His people, his chosen people. This is what God is looking at. And he says here, and now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedges, and it shall be eaten and burned up. Then he said the same thing in John chapter 15, that they will be cast into the fire and burned because it's good for nothing. In John 15, he calls us the branch while he is the vine. So we are the vineyard. Here in this book of Isaiah in the Amplified Bible, he said it will be burned up and I will break down its walls, and it shall be trodden down by its enemies. He removed the protection from the vineyard because the vineyard is not bearing fruit the way it should bear fruit. Matter of fact, it's bearing the wrong kind of fruit. So somewhere along the line, the vineyard has been contaminated. We have to watch, pray and watch for the contamination. Do you hear me today? We have to pray and we have to watch for the contamination. The folk that's coming in just to contaminate us, come to distract us, to deceive us. I said the other day on Facebook that there's a great amount of deception that's in the earth right now. And we can't just put up our hands and say, oh, yes, we're going to. No, we have to watch and we have to pray. We have to fast and pray. We have to watch. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane going to pray, he told his disciples, he said, stay over here, watch and pray. Why? Watch and pray. He tell them, watch and pray, lest they fall into temptation. He said, he's going over here to pray. When he come back, he found them sleeping two times. And he asked them, could they not watch for him 1 hour? Why he going to pray? Third time he came back, find them sleeping. He told them to sleep on. Their eyes was heavy. Tell them to sleep on. He done accomplished what he needed to accomplish. He went over there and talked to the Father. You can't allow anyone to stop you or hinder you from doing what you have been commissioned to do. Sometimes the road looks real hard. Sometimes the assignment seems to be very difficult that we have been called to do, but we got to press on in spite of. I read something last night. They say that they're trying the utmost to stop us from teaching and saying anything about Jesus. That this is what they mean. And then I saw something on the news that there's something they want to take out of the Bible now. And this one that claimed he's a Catholic and he's a Christian, and he's claiming that what they put in the Bible about Jesus is wrong. And it shouldn't be in there. I told that we're at the time that Revelation, the book of Revelation, is complete. It's opening so wide. Oh, before us, as we look and we watch and hear and see what the people are saying in the public arena, the political arena, it makes you see that how God's word is true. It's so true. There's the people that you taught that knew so much and understand so much that they would speak with wisdom and clarity. But they're speaking with deception to deceive the world. And the world is such a deep sleep. I was saying last night as I was studying, I said, when will America, the United States of America, when will the people truly wake up? The people are not researching. The Berean Church in the book of Acts chapter 17, I think it is, and the Bible says that they heard the word, and they believed the word. They believed the word. They heard the word daily of the apostles, and they believed the word, but the Bible also say that they researched the word. They didn't just say, well, yeah, that's the word of God. They loved it. But at the same time, when they leave the service, they went and researched the word. They checked what the apostles were teaching and preaching. We hear the people telling us stuff in the government and over the internet and social media. We jumping up and we're trying to cut up this body, cut up the next person instead of going and looking at researching. I go through a lot of stuff. I Google a lot of stuff on my computer at night. Because when I see certain things on YouTube or see stuff on Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn, I think it is, they have all these sites. I go and I Google and I say, I want to know what's the outcome of this thing. Is this honest? Is this truth worthy? And it will tell you. if it's not right, they tell you straight up it's not right, you know. And some of the things they told that is not right, that is right, you have to double check another site. You can't go to somebody because they tell you it's not right. You got to cross question a lot of different sites to get the truth. But you know, you don't have to do a lot with God's word. When you look into God's word, it's right there. It's the truth right there. You can't. There's no other book that you can put alongside of this book that gonna define this book. This book is already defined by God and by the angels. This word is already defined and by the holy men of God. Listen what he said. Let me get back into this word, though. This is sweet. I only have like four scriptures on today, but they're long. And listen what he says. Oh, my God. He says, verse 6, he says, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or cultivated, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no more, I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. God say, look, you're not going to be able to be fertilized. You're not going to get, because that you're bearing the wrong type of fruit, God says you're not going to be able to get any more substance that will cause you to grow. God is upset right now. You have people today that should be teaching and preaching the truth, sound doctrine. You know, we say sound doctrine makes sound people. Well, you have folk that should be teaching and preaching sound doctrine, but they decide that they want to, I like to say, keep up with the Joneses. You know, whatever the Joneses are doing, they want to do. They forget that they have an assignment from the Savior. Our assignment is not from the President. It's not from Congress. It's not from the Supreme Court Justice Department. It's not from the Police Department. It's not from the Medical Department or the Science Department. Our assignment is from the Great High Priest, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's our assignment. We get our assignment in our heart, in our spiritual heart. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and the men of Judah, his pleasant planting, the plant of his delight. And he looked for justice, but behold, he saw oppression and bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, for uprightness and right standing with God. But behold, he heard a cry of oppression and distress. Now, isn't this what they're doing today? There's a cry. I was talking to, conversing through the internet with one of the apostles from Nairobi, Kenya. And he was saying that how hard it is. How hard it is. I was telling him that it's getting tougher here in the United States of America, too. But it's not as tough as Africa for the poor. I mean, you got rich folk in Africa that is doing well. But you got, when the poor is poorer than the in Africa, there's more poor people than rich people. So he said, well, it's so tough. He said, even the landlords are putting the rent, so jacking the rent up so high because they can't make it. And then the poor people can't hardly make it. The landlords own property. Poor people don't have any property. But they have to pay that rent because they don't care what color you are, how much children you have. If you can't afford that rent, they can put you on the street. And don't care if you have a baby on your shoulder. Listen to me. They don't care if the woman have a baby on her breast, a young baby. Sun hot or it's cool out, they still got to go out in the street, sleep underneath a tree or something. And a young man would tell me last day, I just felt the compassion in my heart, you know. I just felt it in my heart. So I got to do something about that. That's just me. Because I pray for this. This is one of my things this morning. And one of my prayer warriors notes I have here. And one is from Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 10, talking about compassion. It said, not my portion. And I said, pride isn't part of who I am. I shall blossom with compassion, even in my Lord, even as my Lord is compassionate. That's one of my prayer notes. This is one of the focus. I've got about seven focus here that I do. One is, Father, I thank you for choosing me to be part of your kingdom. And I say that, now, Father, I will give to help establish your covenant. Father, God, I declare I will blossom into what you have called me to be. Father, God of my Father, I hold fast to your word. I shall blossom according to thy word. And all these I got scriptures too. Father, I declare more than enough in my life, for I praise and worship a God of excellence and abundance. This is, oh Father, oh my Father, I speak supernatural increase over every seed I sow in Jesus' name. These are prayer points that I read up from the Bible to pray when I'm praying at night by myself. You know, these are prayer points, and they come straight up the Bible. So you got to have this compassion. Jesus is compassionate, even onto the cross. He was compassionate. Hallelujah. He didn't come out dressing as a king with a fancy robe and a fancy crown on his head and a fancy stick in his hand, staff in his hand, a staff of gold. He was just like the rest of the people. That's why they couldn't believe that he was the Messiah. Glory to God. Let's go back in here. He says, in my Isaiah ears, the Lord of hosts. Now let's go back to the verse 7. He said, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is his pleasant planting, the plant of his delight. And he looked for justice, but behold, he saw oppression and bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, for unrighteousness, and for uprightness and right standing with God. But behold, he heard a cry of oppression and distress. He said, woe to those who join house to house, and by violently expelling the poor occupants in closed large accretes, and join field to field until there is no place for others, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. We see how they're making the row houses, the rich folk now. They've been doing this for a while. They're making row houses like they got, like on one spot, they got like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 houses all tied together. The way they normally would put like one house or two or three houses, they put like 7 or 8 houses all tied together, row houses, semi-detached. So they make more money. So the rich is getting rich and the poor is getting poor. And the Lord says, where's the inhabitants? Where? He said, for 10 acres of vineyard shall yield only about 8 gallons, and 10 bushels of seed will produce but 1 bushel. He said, woe unto those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who tarry late into the night till wine inflames them. Listen to what the Lord is saying. He's making a point to see that people are spending more time trying to get intoxicated with the worldly spirits. Been getting intoxicated with the Spirit of God, the Word of God. People are spending more time with the worldly stuff. He said they have lyre and harp, tambourines and flutes and wine at their feasts. But they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, neither do they consider the operation of his hands in mercy and in judgment. These folk is having a good time. Today you see them. They're having a great time. The music is loud. And they seem to be having a fabulous time. But they're not considering the deeds of the Lord. What is the assignment? He said, therefore, my people who go into captivity there to their enemies without knowing it, and because they have no knowledge of God and their honorable men their glory and are famished, and the common people are parched with thirst. They go into captivity. The honorable men is having a great time. They have the best food and drinks. But the poor people, God's people, are perishing. They don't even have clean water. Travel to the Far East or Near East, and you see the people that walk for miles and miles and miles to hear the gospel. And you see their heels are cracked from the heat of the clay dirt. Don't have anything to eat. But they're hungry and thirsty for God's word. He said, therefore, Sheol, talking about hell, the unseen state, the realm of the dead, has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth without measure. And Jerusalem and nobility, and her multitude and her pomp and tumult, and the drunken reveler who exults in her, descend into it. Watch this. These folk that are having such a good time now, hell is waiting. The Bible says so in this Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Hell is waiting. Hell has opened her mouth with measure. In other words, she is large, enlarged herself. Hallelujah. She has enlarged her mouth with great measure to receive all of these folk that are having a wonderful time now. They're having their reward right now in this realm. In this dimension, they're having their rewards. And what God is saying for us, his people, even though we don't have enough, have what we want right now, but we have what we need, he says to stay on board. Don't you step out. Don't you let go. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected. Because greater is coming. Greater is coming for you. Greater is coming for me. We are going to have more than enough. God is going to even allow us to experience more than enough while we are here in this earthly realm. We just got to stay connected to him and continue to do what he said to do. Every day, continue to do what he said. Doesn't matter. Don't depend on what people say or don't say. Just remember your assignment, your call. You see, and the common man is bowed down, and the great man is brought low, and the eyes of the haughty are humble. But the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and God, the Holy One, shows himself holy in righteousness and through righteous judgments. The Lord God, you understand this. The poor is bowed over. He's bowed down. But the great man is brought low. The poor man is brought down. The common man, he's brought down because of his humility. He's humble. He don't have none to be prideful of. He's humble in the Lord. But the great man, that puffed up man, he is brought low. And the eyes of the haughty, those that look on people like they're just filth. You remember the priest in the Levi? Luke chapter 15, the Good Samaritan. What did they do? They was looked at him as with haughty eyes, like there was all that. He's so filthy. The priests and the Levites, the people that supposed to be calling themselves the men of God, the crossover on the other side. But the Good Samaritan went and grabbed him and put him on his little donkey or camel or whatever he had and took him to the place, paid for him to be taken care of. He wasn't even a part of the Jewish sect. He was a Samaritan, which is a half Jew. And he took him there. We have to be compassionate. This is one of my prayer points. We have to be compassionate as our God is compassionate, has compassion. He's a compassionate God. And we have to take on the same attributes that he has. We have to be willing to give to the poor. And the Bible said when we give to the poor, we are lending to the Lord will repay us. We are not giving because we know that he's going to repay us. We're giving because that's part of our DNA, compassion. We are compassionate. Then shall the lambs feed among the ruins, as in their own pasture, and among the desolate places of the exile. Rich shall sojourners and aliens eat. Woe to those who draw calamity with cause of iniquity and falsehood, who bring punishment to themselves with a carrot hope of wickedness. People are exercising wickedness right now on the earth, and they're going to draw punishment to themselves. They're going to draw this calamity to themselves because what you do will come back to you. Hallelujah. When we give, we get. It's one of God's principles. He said, giving it shall be given to you, good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, Luke 6:38. It's one of his principles. It cannot lie. It's God's principle. It's not man's principle. Man's principle is to keep all that he has, all that he accomplished in this realm. You remember when the man had a farm in the Bible. This is, I'm just seeing it. And he said, look, you know what I would do? I have so much right now in my vineyard. So much stuff is growing. I have so much. He said, I'll tear down the old barn. I'll build a bigger barn. This is what we do. This is what folk do. They say, I got a bank account over here at the First American Bank or First Bank of Virginia. And I'm going to get one, and I'm going to join the bank. I'm going to open another account at the Bank of Texas. Oh, all these different names they got a bank, Hartford Bank. And instead of, well, I'm making so much money, why don't I find a way to help the poor? Why don't I help the motherless, the fatherless, the widows, the orphans? They want to get more banks. You see, one man was watching this. I was watching the show, and this lady, she was the maid, and she had this friend on the outside, you know, in the community, and he said, "Look, I've seen that your boss is making all of this money, and he's building all of these homes. He's getting richer and richer and richer." He says, and you cooking the food, washing his clothes, and all this stuff, and he's telling this stuff. This is the devil talking to this woman. He was using this young man was using the spirit of the devil. Sending this woman, said, look, I got some poison. Man, he said, I got some poison. He said, look, and I would tell you how to use the poison and when you make the food for the nice food for your boss when he coming from, he had houses in New York City. He had houses all the different countries. And he was building, he was talking, and the girl can hear him talking about telling his wife how he wants to get all these other homes and stuff, and they would become so rich, they constantly grow. But they really wasn't doing anything for the community. So this young man told her, said, look, you always want to have a big home, and you want to have a car, and you're working for these people, and it don't seem like you're moving ahead. So he said, look, he told her, look, I'm going to show, I got some poison here. And I'm going to show you how to use the poison, how when you cook the food for your boss and where to put it in the drinks and stir it up, and it's going to colorize just like the drink. They're not going to be able to tell the difference. But the young lady, she had a compassion because her boss was good to her, even if he wasn't good to anybody in the neighborhood. He and his wife was good to her. So she told her boss that this fella that she know wanted her to kill them. And the boss, and he made a plan that he would be in a room when the guy think that he was out of town. He was in the house, and they brought the police, and the police was in another room. And they heard him saying, coming with the poison and telling her how to make the poison, but she has put the poison in some mess. Didn't put the poison in the drink. She make the drinks and sure the boss and his wife start crying out when she drink. And the wife fell over, said, "Oh, my belly. And the husband said, "What's happening to you, honey? What's happening to you? What can I do? Can you do some more juicy?" And anyway, he drank, and he fell over too. But they were just drinking all night orange juice. Didn't have no poison. And then the guy come in there. She called him, tell him, "Oh, they're dead. He said, "They're dead." He came in. And when he came in and test, they were still warm. But they weren't breathing. They were holding their breath. And he said, "Now we have all of their riches, all of their stuff. You're going to own all their homes. We have killed them. We will become rich like they were rich." See, we can't covet other people's stuff. We don't know the things that they're doing to get what they do. What we got to do is we got to continue doing what the Lord has called us to do. Don't be jealous of nobody's stuff. Somebody got a lot of cars or got money. That's great. They have money. Just praise God because all's are coming. All money is coming. All money is coming. All blessings is coming. The police arrest that man and the boss man and his wife told the girl, the servant girl, he said, "We are very rich. And we appreciate what you have done for us because you could have taken our lives." And the boss man told her, he said, "Anything that you want, anything," he stressed. Meaning if you need a house, you need a car, you need funds, whatever you want, we will give you because we can afford it. And they told her to sit down. And she began to cry. They began to cry. Because see what? She had a heart of compassion. She's part of God's vineyard. See, we are part of the vineyard. We are the branches, but we are part of the vine. And if you're part of the vine, if we are part of the vine, we got to act like the vine. We got to be compassionate. We got to be loving. We got to be kind. We got to be forgiving. And people say, I hear people come on this line before, and they had some problem with somebody else, and they just said it. This so-and-so be messing with me. They didn't cuss, but they said this so-and-so calling the person name. They been talking to me, and this guy, my job, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. But you supposed to be a Christian. What peace of mind you going to give to people and go out just like them? And see, then they don't see God in us. When we're giving people peace of our mind, talking just like them and reacting like them, you know, see, you don't know how people watch you in your daily work, your walk. And they say, "Man, how can this sister just continue going day after day talking about Jesus and living there and don't have anything, don't have much?" But they forget that we have more than enough. In the natural realm that we're in, it don't seem like we have a lot. But in the spiritual realm, where we really are, we have more than enough. Because we have the Messiah, the Spirit of the Messiah living on the inside of us. That's why the preacher could say, "Great is he that's in us." Say, "You are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For great is he that's in us than he that's in the world." That's why the preacher could say that. He recognized what he had on the inside was more than what he had on the outside. And a lot of times we're too focused on what's going on the outside that we don't appreciate what we have on the inside. That young lady got blessed by her boss. She was truly part of the vine. Listen what it says. Who said, "Let the Holy One," verse 19, "make his and speed his prophesied vengeance, that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it." Folk don't believe that God is with us. Folk believe that they get the golden Thomas unless they see him and see the nail prints and the holes in his hand. They're not going to believe. But we got to know that we know that it's not by power, not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. This is what the book of Zechariah says. We got to understand that he's with us and he's in us, speaking through us. We got to know this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We're seeing this happening now. That's why judgment is on his way. God is just delaying a little time because he's long-suffering. Judgment is on his way. When you see politicians and you see so-called ministers falling down, understand it's God's judgment. God allowed them to go a little bit. He says, they call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All this stuff. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent and shrewd in their own sight. Folk think that they're better than everybody else. They got it all together. Thank God he got it together and that we're connected to him. Woe to those who are mighty heroes at drinking wine and men of strength in mixing alcohol drinks, who justify and acquit the guilty for a bribe. We see this happening right down in America. But take away the rights of the innocent and righteous from them. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, and as the dry grass sinks down into the flame, so their root shall be like rottenness, and their blossom shall go up like the fine dust, because they have rejected and cast away the law and the teaching of the Lord of hosts, and have not believed, but have treated scornfully and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. See, today you have so much sin in the earth because the people have put the law aside. And you have people standing for stuff and say, well, this is the rights of a woman. If she wants to kill her baby and it's the last month before she has the baby. It's the last week before she had the baby. The baby's already formulated in her womb. The baby has hair. The baby has eyes. Has fingers and toes and the navel cord, and everything is connected. Umbilical cord. Everything is connected. She can have the same as the doctor. Put his tool in her womb and pull that baby out. Tear that baby apart and take it out of her womb. And they're testifying. And they're running on the streets. Well, knowledgeable people. People that have been to college and have degrees and PhDs and all. And they're running the streets. Beating people's cars up and breaking people's windows out their homes and stuff. To pull the people retaliate. And in their homes, they have a machine gun and begin to shoot out the front door, the back door, some of these people. And many of them fall down the street. You know what the world would say? Oh, they shoot up their house and people surround people's homes because they want to. They have rejected the law. They rejected God's word. The Bible says this. This is not what David Callan is saying. They despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Listen to what he says. They did this. They said they should go down like fine dust. They cast away the law and the teaching of the Lord of hosts, and have not believed, but have treated scornfully and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, the law. That's why you have so much adultery and so much fornication and all this stuff is going on now, because they say, well, we don't have to abide by that anymore. So many murders. The man was saying last night that, no, no, what the woman said, she said she was on one of these history channels, and she was saying that She have never seen so many young people have guns and killing grown-ups and killing young people, killing anybody, as in now. She says she can't understand what the world is coming to, the evil that's in the world. Listen to what he's saying. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. This is what God is saying. This is not what Isaiah said. This is what God is saying through the prophet. He said that therefore, verse 25, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. God's anger is waxed hot against his people. And he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. And the mountains tremble, and their dead bodies were like dung and sweeping in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. God is not pleased. He is not pleased. I hear Deacon Frederick say this all the time. God is not pleased with when people, not all the church, and I love the church of God, but you see that there were seven churches in the book of Revelation that he talked about, and only two really found favor with God. The two that didn't think that they had stuff to boast about. The church at Philadelphia and the church at Smyrna. Those two. The others thought there was all this and all that. Fucked up. God is not pleased because, you know, you have these little churches in the country that is on fire with, for kingdom business. And the folk are not running to these church, these buildings, because the preacher's not saying what they want to hear. He's saying what God, she's saying what God say. Hallelujah. God is not pleased. He said judgment. You see, judgment begin at the house of the Lord. It come in there first. Everybody think it's going to the world, it's going to the crack house, the whole house, and the prostitution. The lower shark is going to them. No, it's coming to the house of the Lord first, because God has given us his word. And because God has given us his word, he's expecting us to live according to his word. This is what God expects. We are supposed to be an example in the eyes of the people. And when the people see us, they should know that we are the children of God. We are the ambassadors that God has chosen before the foundation of the world. He said that it's going to come to us first. And if it come to us first, what's it to them that don't have not believed the gospel? We got the gospel in us. He says, and he will lift up a signal to call together a hostile people from afar to execute his judgment in Judea. On Judea, and will hiss for them from the end of the earth, as bees are hissed for their hives. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. God is going to call them, all those that refuted his word, refrain from speaking truth. He going to call them to judgment. They're going to come to judgment. And he has people, the signal that he's sending, heavenly signal God is sending out for hostile people to drive his people back to their knees. Many people going to come back to the church. Many people going to come back to the house of the Lord. They're not all going to die. But many going to come back when they begin to see the catastrophes that are taking place in the world. They're going to come back to the house of the Lord. Hear what I'm telling you. I'm not even getting to the scriptures that I want to get to. But we can go there another day. Listen, this is so sweet. I bring this out, the Amplified Bible. And The Lord is speaking to this. He says, none is weary or stumbles among them. None slumbers or sleeps. Nor is the girdle of their loins loose or the latchet down on their shoes broken. Their arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs seem like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring is like that of a lioness. They roar like young lions. They growl and seize their prey and carry it safely away, and there is none to deliver it. And in that day, there the army from afar shall roar against the Jews, God's people, like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, there is darkness and distress, and the light itself will be darkened by the clouds of it. God says this, because his people has turned away. And this is not only talking to the Jews, because we have been grafted in the Gentiles. But they have gone to a place in their walk that they believe that they have reached their goal. So they stop fertilizing. They stop eating and drinking what they need to eat and drink to cause them to continue to grow in the Lord, talking about the word of God. They stop fasting. They stop praying. They stop spending that intimate time with the Lord. They become too busy for their own gains, rejecting the very call that's on their lives. The Bible says, go to Amos chapter 5. Let me see where we are. Amos chapter 5. Let me see where I got that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amos chapter 5. I had it in one of these Bibles here last night. Which where we are. Glory to God. Thank God for new technology, I tell you. It's amazing. You can fill all of these Bibles up on your computer. It don't cost you nothing. See, I had to buy all these Bibles that I have here on this computer. Man, it would cost me a fortune. A fortune. But thank God for wisdom that we can go in and pull up a Bible inside here and things. But here in the book of Amos chapter 5, God speaks to us. Amos chapter 8. Let's go and look in the New Living Translation and see what God is saying. Amos chapter 8. God does not make mistakes. Here in the Living Translation, Amos chapter 8. And let's jump down to verse 11, then we'll come back up. And he says, let's start at verse 7. Now the Lord has sworn this oath, or the Lord has made a promise by his own name. The pride of Israel, I will never forget the wickedness, the wicked things you have done. The earth will tremble for your deeds, and everyone will mourn. The ground will rise like the Nile River at flood time. It will heave up, then sink again. In that day, says the Sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon, and darken the earth while it is still day. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning and your singing into weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads to show your sorrow as if your only son had died. How very bitter that day will be. He said, the time is surely coming, said the Lord, the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not just any kind of famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from border to border, searching for the word of the Lord. But they will not find it, says the Lord, the sovereign Lord. Beautiful girls and strong young men will grow faint in that day, thirsting for the Lord's word. And those who swear by the shameful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the name of the God of Dan, and make vows in the name of God, of the God of Bathsheba, they will all fall down, never to rise again. The Lord says, there's a time coming, just as you and I know, according to the word of God, people are going to become hungry and thirsty for righteousness, but they're not going to be able to find it, because now it is here for them to eat and drink without a price. But they have rejected it outright. They say, I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me nothing about this Jesus stuff. I'm not interested in it, a lot of people say. Then this is the vision of the right grace. We were just talking about them in the book of Isaiah, where it become wild grapes. Then the sovereign Lord showed me another vision. In it, I saw a basket filled with ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? He asked. I replied, a basket full of ripe fruit. Then the Lord, the sovereign Lord said, like this fruit, Israel is ripe for punishment. I will not delay their punishment again. See, the Lord is seeing all that his church is doing right now. You can see it. The Lord is seeing what these folk that are supposed to be really preaching repentance, preaching against sin, should be doing right now. But instead of preaching against sin, they're preaching prosperity. Because that's all we need to do is get rich and die. People are going to hell because a lot of leaders, not you all on this line. I know a lot of real preachers that, oh my God, they're on fire for the Lord. Oh, I came upon some preachers. My pastor, one of my pastors, he's 90-some years old now. And I see him, the Lord say the same when I go down to Virginia in the next month. If the Lord say the same when I'm still in the line of the living, I will see him in fellowship with them. You know, he don't stop preaching holiness. Man, he was preaching holiness when nobody else was preaching holiness. And not only preaching holiness, he was living holiness. And his wife was the same thing. Preaching holiness and living holiness. That's all he was. He says, a basket full of ripe fruit. Then the sovereign Lord said, like this fruit, Israel is ripe for punishment. I will not delay their punishment again. Telling you that God has delayed punishment. God has held back punishment. How long do you think that he is going to keep protecting us and shielding us while we keep dibbing and dabbing in sin? I'm playing that we holy and playing that we righteous. We go up in the house and we stand up behind me with our robes on, our cross on, our bishop ring on, the apostle ring on. You know, we got a ring for every ministry. And we look the part. And God said, I want you to stop looking the part. I want you to be the part. That's what God is saying. God said, I want my people to stop looking the part and be the part. He said he will not hold back. Delay, hold back, withhold his punishment from me, from Israel and again. He said, in that day, the singing in the temple was turned to wailing. People are in there singing all of these holy sounds. Hallelujah. You see how they're doing? I know you all don't go to see this stuff, but if you go to some of these churches, facilities, these houses of worship, and you see what they're doing, of course you might not believe what I'm telling, but I'm telling what I see, I saw. They got the dry ice, like when we, you know, when we were young, we go to the discotheque. Back then they called them cabarets. We go, they had the dry ice and they had the red lights and blue lights and green lights and all that stuff. And when the smoke, the dry ice come up out the stage, it goes through and it makes it look so fancified inside the club. Well, Lord, these big churches, place of worship, got that stuff going on. They got the flashing lights and waving lights moving to the worship. Who are they trying to impress? But when they get there, the preacher gets them preaching these words that sound so profound, but don't have no conviction in them. And God's saying that he is sick and tired of this stuff. People are dying and going to hell. We read that in Isaiah chapter 55 and Isaiah 5 and 14. We read that how hell has enlarged his mouth. We've seen this thing going on. So why should we keep preaching about prosperity? God said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. He said, the blessing of the Lord make it rich. And the unknown. So God is telling us that he wants to bless us. He's going to bless us. So that should not be our main objective, our main focus. Our main focus ought to be to tell the world that sin will take them to hell. It will put them in the lake of fire and brimstone eventually if they continue and don't repent. We got to tell the world this. We got young people coming up onto us and watching us. And we preaching happy messages. We're not talking against fornication. We're not talking against sex before marriage. We're not talking against adultery. We're not talking against sinning, cussing. We're not talking against gossiping. We're not talking against lying and covetousness. We're not talking about how they must respect their father and mother that they're dead when we love in the land. We're not telling them this stuff because we said no. We're no longer under the law, so we're not going to talk about that anymore. Close the book. Close the book. We're not talking about that anymore. Jesus says he did not come to abandon or abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The law is fulfilled in Jesus, but the law still stands. If you look all through the text of Jesus, it's quoting Moses. Paul is quoting Moses. He's calling Abraham, Isaiah. He's quoting the prophets. It must be something that these great men of God, included Peter, James, and John, they're quoting these prophets, and they're quoting prophetess. Something is right about these people. That these people that under grace is still quoting the law. But we wouldn't tell the young people nothing. And we wonder why the young people got so much tattoos on them. And so much tattoos and so much piercings. And then we get mad. I tell my granddaughter all the time about piercings. But she got a nose pierce. And I don't see all the stuff. She goes to the tattoo salon with her grandmother. Well, she put a tattoo on there for the dead, her mother. Next thing I know, she got a tattoo on her calf a saxophone, because she blows a saxophone. Well, I tell her, stop tattooing your body. Well, sometimes so much it seemed like she had it on there for over a year or so, but I never seen it because she was wearing long pants. But now the weather's getting warm, she come up long pants, she wearing dress. So I said, where do you get those tattoos? Oh, I had these a long time. I tell him, because when I come before my Savior, he not going to tell me. I didn't, you said everybody else, but you didn't tell your family. I tell him, I got a tattoo on my left hand, but I'm not putting no more on me. I got my left ear was pierced about 45, 50 years ago. It's filled back in now because I haven't put an earring in since then. I'm not putting more stuff on me. Because, see, when you know better, you do better. Let's finish this thing here. We don't got too far to go. We finish. He said, look. He said, let's read this verse 3 again, so this is so powerful. He said, in that day, the day of judgment, okay, the day that he's gonna chasten them. This is what he's talking about, punishment coming to them. He said, in that day, the singing in the temple will turn to wailing. Why? Because of dead bodies. Dead bodies will be scattered everywhere. They will be carried out of the city in silence. I, the sovereign Lord, has spoken. God said these things going to happen. Remember a couple of years ago, we had pastors dropping down dead in the sanctuary. Just a couple of years ago. People were saying, oh, my Lord, and even with the pandemic, so many pastors died. We're not taking light of people's death. We just saying that God saying, you know, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So we want to live that a life that is that say that our number come up in heaven. And God said that, David, you got to come out of here. It's time for you to leave this earthly realm and come into the heavenly realm. I would tell my family, don't cry. When my time come, I pray that you don't be weeping for me. I know you might weep because you love, but don't. I pray you just rejoice because I'm going to be with my Savior. He said, listen to this. You who rob the poor and trample down the needy. This is God speaking. Listen. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out grain with dishonest measures. Remember, Solomon talked about that. And Proverbs 11 and 1, he says, a false balance is abomination to God, but a just weight is his delight. And God is saying, you'll measure out grain with dishonest measures and cheat the buyer with dishonest skills. I talked about that the other day, with dishonest skills. Verse 6 says, you mix the grain you sell with chaff, sweat from the floor. Then you enslave your poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. Listen to what the Lord is saying. And the Lord saw, and the Lord see the wickedness and the cunningness of the people. The Lord made an oath and swore by his own name, the pride of Israel I will never forget. The wicked things you have done, he said, the earth will tremble for your deeds. And everyone will mourn. The ground will rise like the Nile River at flood time. It will heave up and then sink away. Listen, the sovereign Lord is speaking to us today, as always. We must get to this place in the Lord. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. I tell you, we must get to this place that we allow the Lord to convict us. Allow the Lord to convict us on the inside, to live right, to be right. Let the word of the Lord convict us. None of us, I know for sure that I have not gotten there yet. I pray the Lord will allow me to get there, to get to that place that he is pleased with everything that I say and everything that I do. You know, I pray that he allow me to get there, you know, before he take me out of this realm. Isaiah 55, this is the word of the Lord. And this is a book about salvation, but let's put up two verses here. See, after all of this that's going on here, let's start at verse 3. I'm going to put two verses. He said, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I'll confirm this thing. God said, I'll confirm what he said with you. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people, David. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Lord began to speak out here through the prophet. God is willing to save everyone that come to him. And he even made the decree, let him come to him. Come. You see, he will pardon. Abundantly. Not just pardon, but abundantly. More than ever, he would pardon. Go to Ezekiel chapter 32. Ezekiel chapter 32. Let's see if we can use this out of the Logos Bible. Ezekiel 32. We're talking about today, not rushing, but we're getting where we want to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are getting there. Glory to God. We are talking about the vineyard of the Lord. And as we were studying that, the Lord showed us that the vineyard is his people. And he has a great expectation of his people. He says here in this book, I will cover you at extinguishing your heavens. This is Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7. And I will make dark the stars, and I will cover the sun with the cloud, and the moon will not give its light. Verse 8. All sources of light in the heavens, I will make them dark over you. And I will put darkness on your land. Verse 9. And I will disturb the hearts of many people at my bringing about your captivity among the nations, to countries that you do not know. And I will cause many people to be awestruck over you, and their kings will shatter over you in horror at my brandishing my sword before their faces. And they will tremble continually, each person for his life, on the day of your downfall. The Lord speaking to his people that has compromised his word. He said, I will cover you at extinguishing your heavens. The fall of Egypt is cast in cosmic dimensions. It affects all of creation. The sword of the king of Babylon, the use of Babylon as Yahweh's divine agent of destruction, is a common motive throughout Ezekiel's oracles against Egypt. God speaks very clearly. God does not mutter. You understand? God speaks clear for anyone who has an ear to hear him speak. God is saying to us, if we reject his word, he will reject us. We have a choice. We can repent, turn back to God, and ask God forgiveness. God is a God of abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon the one that returns to him. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that we serve. We are in a world that is turning further and further away from God. They are saying now that we ought to be preparing ourselves for the coming famine of the word, not the world. Famine of the world, word. Why is he saying this? Because people are going to run. The time coming that people are going to want to hear the word, but they're not going to be able to find it. We read it this morning. They're not going to be able to find it, the word. It's going to be gone. You know why? Because the government's going to shut it down. On computer, I have maybe 8 or 9 different types of Bibles on my computer. I just have 5 or 6 in the house, hard copies. But they're going to take this stuff from us just like they do up in and some of them are Far East countries, that you can't have the Bible. You can't walk with it. Look at China and Japan and Afghanistan and Pakistan, those places, you can't have the Bible. You can lose your hand. You can lose your life. You could be in jail for a long time just for carrying the Bible in some of those countries. Well, it's going to happen here. Why? Because the leaderships that we have, they're not for the God. They're not for the godly, you know. And they're not believing in what God has said. They believe that their word is the word. Their word is the spoken word, not God's word. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you have even Christian folks that's in agreement with them. They're in agreement with them. You have a lot of so-called Christian folk that is in agreement with the law of this land that's against God. You know, we got to honor the law of the land, but I'm not in agreement with no law of the land when it's not going with God's word. You know, I'm going to obey the law so that I don't get put in jail or lose my life, but I'm not in agreement for what they're saying do. No, I'm not going to do that. But we thank God and praise God for this day. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, we didn't know. You know, it's always a word to say, but, you know, you want to have a word that bear witness with your spirit, that is God speaking to you and through you. And, Father, you have done that again today. You have spoke to me about the vineyard. I didn't understand it before. And that's the truth. I didn't understand it, that it was the people of God that were the vineyard. But as I look in the scripture, you open your scriptures to me. You open the book to me as a scroll. And you taught me, as a father teaches his son, that the vineyard is your people. And you told me, you allow me to see that you have great expectation of the vineyard. You expect us to bear much fruit. And Father, I pray today, the Lord, we have spoken what you said to speak today. We ask, O God, that you bless the airways, the four corners of the earth. Lord, we ask, God, that you touch the hearts and the, and the minds of your people today as this word has gone forth, that they would consider taking an inventory of their life, the motives, our God, their actions, and everything that we say and do, Lord, that we are doing what you say to do, not just what we want to say or want to do to be seen or heard or glorified, but we want you to be glorified, and we want you to be seen in us. Father, we ask you to bless everyone under the sounding of my voice today, Lord God. Lord, the truth, let the truth reign forevermore. The prophet said that they turn good to evil and light to darkness. But Father, we know that no one can ever turn truth to evil. Lord, we know they can't turn truth to be a lie or good to be evil or light to darkness. They make it look like it, but they can't do it because truth is truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We ask today that you touch those that are unsaved today, Lord. So many all over the world, in Africa, in India, in China, in Japan, Pakistan. Thank you for the work that you're doing in India and even in Africa, that many people. You got witch doctors and warlocks are putting down their staffs and tearing down their shrines because they have had visitation from heaven. And they're tearing down their shrines. Lord, I thank you for this. This is happening in Africa. This is happening in India. Lord, it's happening all over the world, that you are showing up to the Muslim in dreams, and they're coming to the rivers and asking the preachers to baptize them in the rivers to know you even better. We pray, Father God, that you touch every unsaved man, not just the Muslim, not just the Sikhs, not just the Hindus or the Buddhists, but every unsaved man, boy and girl, oh God, touch them today, Lord God. And if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, we ask you, Father God, to, oh God, energize them right now to come to you. Come to you and ask for salvation, Lord. That they come with a committed heart, submitted heart, and ask you, Lord, to just touch them inwardly that they might give their heart to you. Oh, God, with great expectation that you are knowing that you're the only one that could save them. Lord, I pray today in the precious name of Jesus, that you convict everyone that don't know you as Lord, and even those that knew you and walked away because something had happened to them in the church building. Some pastor, some bishop, some prophet, some apostle, some evangelist, some teacher may have said something to them that offended them. Lord, let them know that your love is everlasting love. We ask that you just reach down deep down inside the river of their soul and touch them today. Father, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Neither is tonight, neither the next hour. So while we have the ears open now, Lord, we ask that you bless. You said you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, you said you didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. You come even while we were yet sinners. You laid down your life at Calvary, that if a man would call upon you in repentance, that he should receive the gift of salvation, and he should be filled with the Holy Ghost. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus today, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that said that if a man will confess that which he believes in his heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. We pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would touch someone. Lord, times are getting short. You know, because you hold time in your hand. You know all, Father God. You see all. Lord, you see how the political arena is turning things from the right to the left and from the left to the right. They're switching things the way they want things to go. They believe, oh God, that they are running this world, that they have control, total control. They only have the control, Father God, that you have allowed them to have. We ask you today to judge rightfully as always. You are the rightful judge. You judge with true justice. We ask you, Father God, to touch the heart of everyone in the political arena, from the Supreme Court Justice Department, the Police Department, the Fire Department, oh God, the President, the Vice President, all the administrations, Lord God. Touch them that they might come to know you as Lord, Father. Salvation is for everyone. You said it, Lord God, it is not your desire that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Lord God. Lord, we know, God, that you will shed your blood at Calvary. And your blood is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Your blood is what makes us whole again. Your blood is what put us in right standing with the Father. We ask you today, Father, to have mercy upon us. We cry out today from the center of our heart, O God, for mercy. Lord, we are not just calling for grace like because it's a word that we use so candidly, but we are calling for that grace, that unmerited favor, Lord God, that comes only from your bosom, O God. We ask you to extend your hand of grace and mercy to us today, Lord God, that we might be able to stand in that day of judgment, O God, and hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, we recognize that we have not always got the T's crossed or the I's dotted. We have not always got it right according to your word. So we are asking for forgiveness for anything that we have done, say or done, or, Lord God, known or not known. Father, we pray for that one that don't know Jesus today. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not been living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, we want you to take the time right now. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, you, me, all of us. But this is a time that even you can rededicate your life. Even if you were feel you were walking halfway decent, you can still say that prayer any time of the day. I mean, sometimes I'm just driving my car down the road, and I just ask the Lord to have mercy, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me. Because I don't know if I get hit by another vehicle, something happened, fall out the sky and drop on my car, and I be taken out of this world into another dimension, if I will be right at that particular time. So I always ask the Lord to have mercy, forgive me, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, thoughts, actions, and deeds, right where you are. All I've seen, I said in Romans 3:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible said this in Romans 6:23. It is important that you understand that you have a life that will never die. Your body will die, but your spiritual life will never die. It will never die. It's going to live in another dimension. When it leaves this earth, it's going to live in another dimension, either in hell for tormented after judgment day, or in the heavenly realm with the Father, because he cleaned this earth and gave us a new earth and a new heaven where we will reign with him for 1,000 years. So you have a decision to make. Think about it. Because these atheists is telling the people, they're going to the school and telling the people because they have these big degrees and they're making these umpteen money a year. So people look at them as sophisticated, knowledgeable, and they're going to the school and they're engrafting their own mindset into these young people, telling them there's no God and there's no hell and there's no heaven. You have a life to live, one life to live. Live it to the best of your ability. You live the life you want to. That's what I'm telling the truth. But I come to tell today that your life has a purpose. And God has a plan for your life. And you can step into that plan and purpose by just receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day. Today is your day to receive. Wherever you are, whatever country, whatever nation, whatever continent you are in, it is your day to receive, to submit to the living God, to the sovereign God. And it doesn't make you any smaller. Because some people, the enemy tells you that if you decide to walk for Christ, you will not be admitted, received between your peers. That's a life in the pit of hell. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. And God will enlighten you in a way that the kids that don't even know Christ, they will begin to draw to you because they see that you are moving through your classes. You have peace. You have joy. You know, they'll want to know, they'll be concerned with why you are so comfortable in yourself. And that will be a way for you to share Jesus with them. Well, if you don't know him today, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard the word today. And I believe in my heart that you died at Calvary. But most of all, Lord Jesus, I confess my sin today before you. I've been living my life as I please. Not as it pleased you, but as it pleased me, according to my flesh. But today I realize that if I continue to live in this manner, that I will only have one place to end up, and that is hell. And I don't want to go to hell. So today, Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And I am coming to you, to the one, the only one that can transform my life from this conformity of the world. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, to accept me as one of your children in the vineyard, like the preacher was preaching about today. Admit me, Lord. Receive me as one of your children. I give my heart, my soul, my mind, my body completely to you. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to use me for your glory and for my good. Teach me your word and show me the way. And I will follow. I will tell unbelievers of your love, of your compassion, and of your mercy. If you just said that on common prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, Peter said you have to repent in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. When you repent, which means you have to turn away from the sinful lifestyle that you've been living. You can't say you received Jesus and still continue to live the same way, do the same things. Some people you may have to just cut off. It don't mean that you hate them, but you can't keep following them and going to places that they're going, because they're going places that is not fit for the righteous. You are now coming into the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So you have to start walking this walk. You have to study your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you have to get connected with like-minded believers, people who love, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who love God. Get yourself connected. Get yourself connected. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher. You may be start visiting churches, looking for church, but once you find a place that the word is being taught, ask the pastor if he could baptize you. And then maybe before you ask, you might want to ask somebody, how do they baptize in that church? So they may baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you want to baptize according to the apostles, how they're baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because it's your salvation, it's your life, your soul that you are fighting for your soul now. You're fighting for your soul. The pastor not fighting for your soul, the bishop not fighting. They're gonna tell you what you need to do, but they're not gonna follow you around to make sure that you live that life. You have to fight. You have to do what is necessary for you to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But before you get baptized, once you find a pastor that will baptize in the way the Bible requires us to be baptized according to the apostle doctrine, which is Jesus' doctrine. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Because, like I said, this is your soul salvation. And you want people to know, everybody to know, that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. You want people to know that you are saved. I don't care who said. I got friends that still smoking. Some, a few, just a few of them. The majority of them died, left this world. Who didn't get shot died from overdosing. But the Lord still kept me here. Still kept me here. I had a friend that I was very jealous. I would say the truth. I was jealous of him because he had a big fancy house. Big fancy house. Had Mercedes Benz. He had four or five different cars. I mean, he did everything, you know. And I was jealous. His house was very, very nice. Had big jacuzzi. I mean, it's big giant jacuzzi that you see the advertising on the TV. And I was jealous. I said, I want to have a house like him, but the jacuzzi sunk in the floor and all that kind of stuff. Can have six, seven people in there, seven family members in there. I mean, but then I realized that wasn't it. It wasn't about a big fancy house and big jacuzzis and cars and stuff. It's about living a life that pleases God. You can have the whole world and lose your own soul. And then when you get the world and you're on your deathbed, you can't purchase a salvation. And some people become so prideful even on the deathbed, they don't even want to repent. They died rich in the world and go to hell. I pray that you all that receive the gift of salvation, you get baptized, that you find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. I thank God for this day, and I thank God for letting me know that I'm part of the vineyard. And I'm going to do this thing every day till the Lord take me home. When I get help, I let the help come. And if there's no help, I got to come on in and do what needs to be done, regardless if people like it or don't like it. Regardless if people respond or don't respond, I got to put the word out there. I get a lot of inboxes, people on the messenger, people on the internet send me inbox saying to thank you for that word. What a good word. What this? I said, praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to release it. I just know what God tell me to do. And I surrender my mouth to him, my eyes and my ears to him, and he does the work. You know, I just a mouthpiece. But God bless you all. I thank God for you all. And now I'm going to open the line. If anyone wants to respond, you could. The line is open, and I thank God for the word. Bless you all.
Bless God. Thank God for the word. The word is good. I enjoy every bit of it. I was blessed to be here. Come on here. Get the word in today. I'm blessed to be here. My words and being in the mind. And it's something saying. It's so true just being in the time now, but you know, the world is do what I will. You know, that's what the whole law for the world is. Do what I will, do what you want to do. God understands. And ain't nothing gonna happen to you. The same thing he told me in the garden. He said that you're going to be God.
You know, that their body's the temple of God. So, the time we live in there, man, you know, this new world church, man, you look at this new church inside, man, you can't even tell the difference between the church and the club. Man, they got all, they doing everything, everything. I'm not saying that, you know, you're getting an argument with people there saying, well, man, you know, what they got to do with what you got on, you know, what's going to get you to heaven. You know, and I'm pretty sure God died for our soul, but then he have a requirement. Well, to dress holy, you know, and so, you know, get out to pray, man, and pray that our young people find a way, I hope I'm correct if I'm wrong, talking about how they try to take the mind of God and our young people, making them think that God is real, and just a mere thing, You know, and I tell this young people all the time, when I do have opportunity to talk to them, like I talked to my nephew and him, I said, if you don't believe my words or God's words, just walk outside and look at nature. Look at that sun. Look at yourself in the mirror. Man couldn't have did that. Now, he probably would make a copy because, you know, man don't figure out how to clone and do all kinds of stuff now. And they got the technology to create stuff. They even got labs where they can make humans now, you know, clone humans now. So now they think that they don't need God. Oh, God, it's like they tell God, okay, God, we got this now. We done figured it out, and we don't need you. They're fools. God, let's go on to it. Because they headed for their own destruction. So, you know, I just thank God for the word. It was good. You know, we all got to keep praying for each other. We got to push harder. Thanks God to help me push harder. I like what you were saying. I think at the end, you said, let's keep us praying hard. Man, every day, man, I'm asking God to have mercy on me and forgive me, you know, for my sins. Most people are like, I can always repent, but you want to keep us praying hard because you just don't know. You never know what God will say. Okay, that's it. You know, you don't have your time, and your time is up. You know, you can't put no number on when God is your time. You know, I told my nephew them, I said, hey, man, you watch that graveyard don't have no age on it. Everybody out there tonight is a believer. So, you know, you got to look at that, too, you know, that, you know, just know that, you know, the Bible says, the point of the man is that, God's got judgment. If you really have to pray for our generation, we really need prayer in this hour because people need to be saved, man. I'm looking for God to bring a revival. Like never before, that people can get saved and delivered, you know. And you know, that God get a whole child leader and they get back to, you know, winning souls, man, because it's sad you got ministries now. Like you were saying earlier, they're more concerned about the building. A building, like the building more important than the people. You have to compromise people's souls just so you can keep a big building and your big house and your car. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, but at the end of the day, what about people's souls? You know, what about people so they don't want to offend nobody. They want to be politically correct. Oh, man, I don't want to say that to them. Then I won't be on TV no more because, you know, now everything you say now, you're being monitored, you know, by social media. You say certain stuff and they defend a certain community. Now they want to shut you off. So you got pastors now. Some of them scared to preach because they don't want to use that TV audience or they don't want to use that a certain type of money because they more worried about our man feel instead of worried about how God feel. You know, and so, you know, we just really have to pray harder, press harder, and ask God to help us do better. I want to do better. Am I perfect? No, I'm not, but I'm pressing toward the mile or the high call asking God to make me perfect, make me holy. Some days I get it right, some days I don't, but I'm going to keep trying so I give it the way God wants me to be. I trust God. I believe God. He gave me to see it from all I ask. I thank according to the power that works in me. And God can do anything. If you want to be free, if you want to be holy, you can do it. It ain't hard, man. I don't believe it'll be hard because the battle, the first battle that we have, not just the enemy of our soul, which is the devil, is our flesh. You know, fighting against his flesh, telling his flesh, you know, but his flesh won't want it wrong. It ain't forgot how to drink. It ain't forgot how to have sex. It ain't forgot how to get high. This flesh don't never forget. So it's always longing for something that's gonna cause your destruction, your eternal destruction. So you really have to pray, ask God to continue, you know, to push you and drive you and to hold you so you won't fall and fail God. But I just thank God for the word. It was good. And I enjoyed it, man. I comment because, you know, the word is good, you know, and God's word gonna be true. Whether we accept it or not, you know, God's word is not going to change for man. And that's what's wrong with man today. And I'm not talking about anybody. That man don't think God done changed his mind by how he feels. And I tell people, man, go back and look at the Old Testament. God done changed his mind by saying they got beside themselves. And they thought they was kind of got so smart that God wouldn't do that to them. And look what happened to them. You think he gonna change his mind about us? So I just tell people, look at the old everywhere where they do scientists digging up all these ancient places in Egypt. All the places where God buried. Them people either died and they was passed away or either God buried a lot of places. You got cities all up under, they find all up under the sea, lost cities of Atlantis and all these different places. And Antarctica that was flooded, and they don't realize God did that. These people thought they were going to, and you know, they thought they were going to get by, and they thought they were going to escape God's judgment, and he ended up killing all of them. And so we got to pray that we escape God's judgment, and we be worthy for the things that, you know, God keep us, and that we be worthy to be kept, and that, you know, and that God continue blessing this video ministry. I enjoy it every time, and I love it because you need the truth, man. You can't hardly find it. And it is a famine for the Word of God. Like you were saying, famine for the Word of God is looking at not just them getting the word of the Bible, they're doing it in the church. You can't hardly find the truth no more in some churches. You know, not just the world wants to be. I know California, I was looking at a video, they passing a law down. They're going around doing petitions. Because, you know, in California, you know, I'm a truck driver. You can't carry a Bible in public places. Another that, you can get a fine and everything in California. And so now they're trying to take that law and take it all over America. Now you got people going around petition against the church, and they want to get rid of the Bible. They want to get rid of all the Bible.
That's right.
They get rid of all day. It's still in my heart. You can't take what's already in me.
That's right.
It's in my blood.
That's right.
But I sweat. I'm sweating the word. I sweat the word. My shadow got the word in it. The only way you're
going
to get rid of the world, you got to get rid of me. And when you get rid of me,
hallelujah.
I say, if I ain't afraid to lose my life, I gain it. So, you know, it don't make no difference. You know, if they take the Bible, you got to get foot of that word. And how you get foot of that word,
yeah.
You get foot of the Holy Ghost. And keep striving. Don't give up. You know what I mean? If you wake up in the morning, I say the day you fail God, you repent. And don't do it on purpose. Sometimes we make mistakes and we willfully sin. But you know, and then you know, the Bible says, "There ain't no sacrifice." But if you have a real repentant heart, and you be broken the contract, God will forgive you, and give you a chance to try it all over, and you try to do better, and don't give up, because every time you wake up in the morning and you still breathing, you still got a chance to get it right with God. You still got a chance. Don't let
That's
the enemy
right.
tell you that you ain't got no chance. Don't let the enemy tell you that God done with you. God ain't finished with you. When you stop breathing. And your time up, that's when he's done. That's when your time is up. But as long as you got a chance, you got breath in your body, you can get it right with God. You don't have to have a title to get it right with God. You are important.
That's right. Hallelujah.
He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It ain't had no title on him. So I don't care who you are or how small you are. In God's eyes, you important. You important. You're so important because he would have never sent his son or all the holy priests to bring us to repentance if he didn't kill. God love us so much. If you don't believe the love of God, just look at what he's done for you. And then if you don't believe him for what he's done for you, I can just walk outside and just sit on your porch and listen to the birds. Look at all the glories of God. How he gave us birds and he gave us cats and dogs. And he gave us the sun with the sun sitting in the middle of the sky and give us sunlight. Man, look how good God is. He gave us green grass and gave us trees to keep our atmosphere clean, even though man is being destructive and they messing up everything. Look how good God is. He's still faithful. Man, God is still faithful. There ain't no other God. Ain't no other God can top off our God. Buddha, man, none of them ain't got no on my God. None of them. He the only living God. Everything that he did, you can see he did it forever. You can see the glory of God if you walk outside. Man, God is good. I said, Lord, even nature obey God. So, you know, man got to be ignorant out of their mind to think that they're going to function without God. I believe if man ever gets, the closer we get away from God, this planet going to start turning against us. Because this planet cannot function without the power of God. God spoke me to it. You know, even though they teach them in school, they use a Big Bang theory, and it's only a theory. I believe what Jesus said, I heard a man of God say this, I believe what Jesus said, let there be light, that was a big thing. Jesus said, let it be light, then there was the sun. Then he go to the moon, then he created all the animals. And he did that for us. He did that, that's love. That's better, you know, we think, you know, the love of God is, you know, tangible things, a car, a house, nice clothes, nice shoes. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I like nice things. Don't get me wrong, I got quite a few suits in my closet. I like nice shoes and I like spacing out of suit now. Don't get me wrong now. I don't mind just
me
tonight,
too.
But at the end of the day,
hey,
you know,
brother.
Those things, you know, those things don't really matter. But when you look outside and you look at the glory of God, look at all the trees and the meadows and how you got the birds, they come out and save you. The birds glorify God. The birds, the animals glorify God. They tell God thank you. The trees, the way they upward, they telling God thank you. They do everything God tells them to do every season. The trees don't change their season. They let the grass fall off, and then they'll grow their grass back. They do everything God tells them to do. Everything, even the sea, the ocean, even though, you know, things are starting to come off, of course, because of sin, but everything God did them. If God didn't, I'm glad man that created the planet, because it'd be a hard mess. And I thank God for what he's done. I love him. I love him with all my heart and my soul. He is good. And his mercy endures forever. Everything that he did was perfect. When you look at yourself, God made you perfect. God made you perfect. When he made you a man, he made you perfect. When he made you a woman, he made you perfect. You don't have to second guess yourself. That's bad when they wish you things to second guess this. That's the devil. That's like you did Eve. You go back to the beginning of Genesis, you can show you the tactics of the enemy. And what he always try to do, try to make us think that God don't care and make us second guess God. Well, he already been with and well, we already seen. So, you know, I just thank God for the word of God. It was good to my soul. And I just want to comment and just say God thank you for all he done. How good he is. Man, God is good to us, man. Man, we could be dead in hell. You know how many people have died?
Yeah.
And God has been merciful to us, man. I know I don't deserve nothing from God. I don't deserve no mercy.
Yeah.
I don't even have to be saved. But because of his mercy, that's why I'm here. This is because his mercy and his grace. And I thank God for giving me a chance. I could have died when I was in my sin. He could have let me die. But he picked me up, like they say, out of mud and clay, and he cleaned me up and got me right. And through the ups and downs, he didn't give up on me. But I failed him, but I felt like giving up. He still gave me a chance and told me, come on. Man, I thank God for that, man. It's a blessing that God don't give up on. I thank God. I love him for what he already done. If he don't do nothing else, when I walk outside and I look at myself, and then through all the sickness, and the diseases that try to come upon our body, he still keeps us. I thank God for that. And I'm blessed. I can't help myself. I love you, Lord. I praise you. Lord, I glorify your name. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. God bless you. Amen. Hello?